Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Wave Podcast. We are back again this week to discuss House of the Dragon Season 2, Episode 5, titled Regent. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined this time by Liz Seiko.
Hello, hello.
As well as Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
So we're coming off of the ending of last week's episode that, again, spoiler alert, if you guys didn't already know this and you weren't watching last week, but the massive dragon battle that we had. And Liz, you weren't on the episode last week. It was me, Mark, and Vinny, and we discussed it in a lot of detail. But there's obviously so much that comes off the back end of that. And we start this week's episode with a look at Corlys and what he's dealing with after losing his wife, Rhaenys, and sort of the emotion that he must be feeling coming off of the end of that before we get to King's Landing, and we see obviously all of them parading back in with the dragon head. But just on the opening of this episode, where we have like the wide drone shot that brings you into where Corlys is, and he's obviously like so distraught over it, what were your feelings coming off of last week's episode, and then what were your expectations going into this episode along with the opening?
Yes, obviously the last episode with the war and dragons was incredible. I think it's their best episode of this season so far, which I think a lot of other people feel too. It definitely was the most action, and everybody's been waiting to see dragon on dragon. Which, like, I was upset though that I was honestly like, no, not the dragons. Like, I don't want to see them die, but I understand, like, I think we all know as Game of Thrones fans, they all die eventually. So, like, dragons are going to be dying in this show. Going into this episode, I had very low expectations just because I was like, all right, they gave us a pretty heavy episode. They're going to rein things back in a little bit and kind of get back into setting the scene for another big season finale, I think is what the next few episodes are going to be, is just prepping to give us another huge, I think, death in the final episode of this season, but I don't know who yet. But I was actually surprised. I enjoyed this episode more than I had anticipated. I think that they're finally flexing their feet a little bit of having their characters be fully formed, telling side stories, not just necessarily the story of Rhaenyra coming to the throne. I think that they're finally having side plots going on that are interesting side plots, not just like throwaway conversations. I enjoyed this episode a lot. I think it definitely wasn't as powerful, but they're doing things right.
Okay, Vinny?
I 100% agree. I'm very surprised. According to IMDb, this is actually the second lowest rated episode.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Of the season or of the show?
Of the show.
Wow.
Of the show,
wow.
Yeah. So the lowest rated episode is, I believe, episode 3 of season 2, which is titled The Burning Mill. And then right above that is this episode, which I'm surprised. Yeah, me too. Because I think, you know what it is that general audiences kind of are coming off this high. But I expected, like you said, I already kind of expected this to be a much lower episode because it can't be high after high after high, you know. But even with this episode, I really enjoyed myself. I love the perspective that we're now getting on the kids and the newer generation. Seeing Bela and seeing Chase become characters and characters that you really like, characters that are now taking initiative. And I love the conversations that are had in this episode with not only Chase, but Rhaenyra's character, Mysyria, and all of Team Green. I really enjoyed this episode. I think the only complaint is that it was a little predictable. Like, I feel like everything we talked about on the podcast and things we've theorized in the last 4
came are coming to fruition.
So it was predictable. But even with that, I think it was solid.
Yeah, I think there were definitely some really good. I'm also surprised by the score rating, even though I think I was a little underwhelmed with this episode. But it's kind of to be expected just coming off of such a high. But I do understand, obviously, you can't keep that up episode after episode. One scene in particular that I really loved in this episode is when we finally get to that moment in which there needs to be an obvious change made because of the predicament, or I guess just the what Aegon is dealing with, obviously, that the guy is basically on his deathbed, like at this point.
Well, we just don't know where he's, what's going to happen to him.
Yeah. And that's a brutal scene. I mean, again, like the Thrones universe is known for their graphic scenes. I mean, we see in this episode, we see a dragon head with great detail with the flies kind of flying around Maelys. And then we get the visuals of the armor being taken off the king in excruciating and gross detail with the squelching noises. And it's just, it's, I mean, it's, it is great to give us that like inside look at it, but at the same time, it's disgusting. But knowing the way that Thrones is, obvious that that was going to happen. And we see the sort of the condition that Aegon is in, which is one that, you know, it's weird. It's like, I kind of feel like he's a lot more put together than I thought he would be based on what happened. But at the same time, he kind of has like half Anakin Skywalker to him at this point. But the conversation that happens at the table, where Allison, his mother, sort of argues for the fact that she should be the one to take over. And Allison sort of is the person that would have the most obvious path to potential peace between the two kingdoms. And then you have Aemond who, I mean, Kristen can't even admit that Aemond is the one that essentially took out his brother. We're going to be set on this insane warpath now. Between Aemond and what he's going to do as a dragon rider and just knowing how slimy this guy is now going against Rhaenyra, who also is like getting to this point now where she's like, I need to fucking do something like, and you get, I don't know like how you guys feel about it. Cause that was my sense in this episode too. And I like the setup, but I'm still waiting for them to really do something. Like I understand last week we had Rhaenys come in, but like Rhaenyra's not getting a lot to do in this season, except for like, the politics of it. And even Jace, like he's having these sit down meetings with other houses, and Daemon needs to get the hell out of Harrenhal because that's a whole nother thing. But where are you with Rhaenyra right now? And like Team Black's approach to things, Liz, like where are you sitting with that?
I was kind of the same mindset of that as you in the previous episode. Cause I felt like not a lot was happening for her, but I think they're starting to give her nice groundwork of playing a different type of war than Side Green is. Side Green is going to be very aggressive, very like using their like muscles. Well, I think Rhaenyra is going to be much more of like a chess game, and she's going to pick her moves wisely, and she's going to play a little bit more of like the politics of it. And like we see that already happening of her sending in somebody to start talking with the people in King's Landing and starting to get the people to rise up against Team Green. So I don't think she's gonna, I think she realizes that she's not going to win against them with brute force. So she's gonna play mind games, and she has a smarter mind than the other team's leader as of right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even adding on to that, the ending of the episode with Chase and Chase bringing the revelation to Rhaenyra of saying like, hey, there's other people that have our blood that we might as well try to get them aboard and try to man our dragons with them, even if their blood is thin, which is such a political advantage. And I really love everything about Team Black. Personally, I'm gonna stir the pot here.
Do it.
Because I know some people are Team Green sympathizers, and I could understand, but I don't get it. I could understand how people can empathize, but like Team Black, just they have the swagger, they have the underdog. I think Daemon, even with his villainous traits, is so much more enjoying to watch whenever he's on screen. I love Rhaenyra. I'm now I now love Chase too, and I love how he's really growing into this very honorable young man. Yeah, I'm Team Black, man. Like I'm so excited to see Rhaenyra, like you said, Liz, use that politics to her advantage, and how we mentioned on one of our previous episodes, using the public and using the lower class. I always think of 1984 and how constantly in the book it's referenced how, you know, the lower class, I forget the word they use in the book, but essentially, you know, this coup d'etat that will soon form, this uprising from the people, the lower class is the numbers. Those are the statistics. And if we could, if Rhaenyra could control them and use them to her advantage, it can flourish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that you guys brought up the family element too, because if you just look at it on both sides, Team Green is constantly just opposing their own family. I mean, even the most direct comparison just being Aemon taking out his brother, right? You have a different situation in which Aegon's wife, who is his sister, is at the end of the episode, like, says straight up to Aemon, like, was it worth it?
Yeah.
Everybody
knows.
Everybody knows. And you have Allison's kids going against her. You have the sexism is just kind of played out throughout this whole season already, with even Rhaenyra's sort of team going at her even in this episode too, and constantly doubling down on like, well, you're a woman, so it's not going to work. And it's like, all right. But the same thing happens in this episode with Allison, where there's not a single person on her side, including Larys, which we get that great moment where you're just like, you piece of shit.
See, I actually feel like it was sweet, sweet justice against Allison.
Well, you don't like Allison, though.
But no, I do. But I think it was, and I've been seeing so many memes about it, where it was like, girl, you made the side that went against a woman ruler and literally like built up this team of misogynistic men. Mm. What makes you think that they're going to be like, you go, girl?
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
What makes you think that? Like, you chose your side day one and like you're on that side. You built that side. So like, what makes you think that they're all of a sudden going to switch just for you? No, your team is hungry men that just want power, which worked for her in the beginning. But now she's finally seeing that she has lost all reins of that team.
Oh, yeah. Her father's been thrown aside. Mm-hmm. Now her son, who was the king, is now obviously on his deathbed, essentially. And she doesn't really have any saving grace. She doesn't have anybody in her corner. Even Kristen, obviously, we're seeing that
all
play out.
She has no cards to play.
No cards to play. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens with her role going forward, because I don't know what's left for her to do unless
what are we thinking for her,
like, do we think she switches sides? Like, is that a possibility? Like,
I don't know, like, a part of me thinks, like, is it crazy to say that she gets killed off this season?
I don't think it's crazy. I just don't know what, like, who would kill her off and what would the threat be? Would it be Aemon killing her off essentially?
I fully think one of her children are gonna kill her to show how brutal that world is, and that family doesn't mean anything to Green.
Okay.
Family is Green is all power, power, power. I want the throne. I want to be I want to own the dragons.
Yeah.
And she's not a dragon rider. No. So they're going to be like,
Aemon is the one that I could see that happening with. Uh-huh. Aegon, at this point, I don't even know. You even get that slight moment where he says mommy when she leaves the room, and I think he obviously realizes he fucked up by doing what he did last week. Vinny, you have an opinion on that or a theory?
Honestly, it's tough to say. I don't have any theories. I think that it would be very fitting, very Game of Thrones, very Song of Ice and Fire fitting for Aemon to kill Allison. But I don't think that's going to happen. Just because I feel like the story structure of House of Dragon has been very different from what we've come to expect in Game of Thrones. I can almost see Allison being more of a perpetrator in the terms of being someone to allude to Aemon's death rather than Aemon killing her.
Okay.
I just feel, I don't know. That's just what I feel in my gut. I can't really have any other way of explaining it. That's just kind of how I feel.
I think it is interesting to see what's going to happen with her, though, because now, like you said, Liz, there's nowhere for her to really go. There's no cards that she could play. She's basically alone in the kingdom now, except with her brother. Like that, and
he's like out and about with, he's going to war. He's not just like sitting in the castle with her.
Exactly.
And I also think it's interesting what Sir Christian said, was that he's like, we gave the war to the dragons, so we need a dragon rider to rule us now. Which, I, as much as like people dislike him, I loved that line, because I was like, he's not wrong. Like, you can't have a leader that doesn't know how to handle the dragons. And so like, she doesn't know how to handle the dragons or like how to go to war with them. You need somebody that actually knows how to ride them.
Yeah.
And also has the biggest dragon.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that happens with Kristen is really interesting in this episode. Even in the opening, when he comes in and he's like, don't they realize we've won? And then Sir,
we got to talk about the dragon head.
Mm.
What were you guys surprised that they did that?
No,
no? Okay.
I wasn't surprised. I think that it also, and maybe this plays along with what you were saying, Vinny. Like, I don't know. To me, it was a little. It was not only, it wasn't predictable they were going to bring in the dragon head, but it was predictable based on the reaction we were getting from the townspeople. Like, they were like, what the fuck is going on? And they also were like, where is the king?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, where's the king? The king has been gone.
Yeah.
And there's just a box. Like, there's, and they also barely had confidence in the king to begin with. And I think so much of bringing in that dragon head and the significance of what that represents is actually giving more fear to the people in King's Landing.
Yeah.
And you see it play out when they're now being trapped, mm-hmm. like inside King's Landing. Did you feel similar, Vinny?
Yeah, I watched the inside House of Dragon episode, like kind of how they have that after.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And the showrunner was talking about how, you know, the people of the city and the people of King's Landing has always seen the people above them as gods because mm-hmm. they are harnessing dragons who are essentially gods. Like, they've never seen a dragon be brutalized and massacred. So now Kristen thinks this is like a hoorah, but really you hear one of the townsfolk even say this is a black omen.
Mm.
And because now even the people who thought they were protected by these gods can see that God can be killed and beheaded. So Kristen making this display of Maelys is foolish. You know, it's giving, even like you said, even more fear into the townspeople, because now they're like, okay, well, now the dragons that are supposed to protect us, the our leaders that are supposed to protect us, can also be brutalized and massacred. Yeah,
it's definitely interesting seeing what we're going to see maybe happening going forward. Maybe we should touch on Daemon, because the Daemon stuff is crazy. I mean,
crazy.
We've been getting crazy Daemon stuff week after week after week. These constant visions he's having, and these crazy, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm going to say illusions, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, they're like hallucinations.
Hallucinations, mm-hmm. Thank you. And there's one in this episode in which there's a woman that mysteriously is kissing a lot on him, and we don't know who that is at first. And then we discover that he's having this hallucination that he's having sex with his mother, which whole nother level of Liz, let's get your take, because we know you love incest on House of the Dragon.
I'm just like over it. I'm over the incest of the show, truly. But I'm also starting to get over the whole like Daemon and like hallucination world. Like, I'm ready for him to take what he learned from these visions and this like world and like these prophecies or dreams and like get back into the game. Like, come on, like these people need you on their side, and like, let's see what Daemon's made of. And also, I know it's part of his character to be like, well, I'm going to be king and like Rhaena's going to sit next to me on the throne. But I just want to be like, shut up. Like, we had that already season one. Like, you know your place. You know she's going to be the ruler. Nobody wants to see Daemon on the throne. Nobody. I will say, and I've said, one of my complaints of this show and past episodes has been that it isn't funny. This episode made me laugh more than other ones have. So
why is that?
Only because of Daemon. Like, honestly, it was, I found it very funny when he is like on the dragon telling these people bend your knee or like I'll burn you. And then he's like sitting on this rock and he's like, I can't believe that they actually would burn.
I agree. Like,
that's hysterical.
I agree. That was great. I actually thought there was a big, there was like a music, there's like a music note. Like, there's a good, that was like the perfect amalgamation of a comedic moment, because it goes from like the visual of the fucking ginormous dragon head as the one dude's like walking away and getting ready to be
burned. Which you think like he's going to burn him. Yeah. You're like, oh, he's going to
burn him. And in the beginning,
fire.
When he says that, the way he delivers the line, you actually think that he actually did kill them. He's like, I can't believe they would just
burn.
Take death.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not even 100% aware yet until he continues the conversation that they're still alive. And he's like, no, we need them. Like, we need these people.
And it's just funny seeing like this war hero, somebody that's been through battles and knows how to do it, finally seeing like real people that are just like, no, I'm not gonna do whatever you want. I'd rather die, man. Like he hasn't seen that type of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but he just hasn't come to head with that, like problem yet. And it's just funny watching him like deal with that. But I'm ready for him to be back on Team
I do
Black.
I do feel similar to I'm that. I think the hallucinations now are getting to a point where it's just like some situations you're not even sure exactly what you can trust versus what you can't. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a little bit redundant over now. What has it been? I mean, 4 episodes now. Yeah. 4 episodes in a row. This is all we're getting really from Damon. And these interactions that he's having with the witch. Vinny, did you have anything on Damon this episode?
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like that one moment was so funny. Like it is the perfect hard cut of just him. Like you are already explained it all. It is so funny. I agree. I think that I think he needs to return. I think. With Sir Alfred now being sent to Harrenhal, I think things are gonna speed up. But I have a feeling he's gonna stay in Harrenhal for the rest of the season.
Do you?
I just have a feeling. I think that the witch is that whole subplot is gonna kind of come to a climax, and we'll see what happens to that. The other point I was gonna make was Sigmund Freud would love this episode. So I just wanted to make that joke. And yeah, I think I still really enjoy Damon. I love how he's so stubborn in his ideologies. And he thinks that he can just kind of come to this land and the Riverlands and be like, I'm going to assert my power. But no, they are very, they're, what's the word? Intolerant people. That's not even the best word to describe it, but they hold true to their beliefs too. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, they're very similar to Damon or Damon, where Damon's so stubborn in their beliefs, and they're also not going to let some guy on a dragon shake their beliefs. And it gives this conflict because it's almost like watching a kid, you know, like a stubborn kid, which is so interesting because I feel like we also said similar things about Aegon and Aemon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're still seeing that parallel.
Yeah, Damon definitely possesses a lot of what Aemon and Aegon, I think, represent as a throne. And I do think that's probably another part of the reason you also don't want to see it. I'm similar. Like, I feel the same way. Like, I don't necessarily want to see Damon on the throne. I don't think he's going to get to the throne at any point.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, let's... I mean, I would like to see the hallucinations end, but I kind of do agree with Vinny. I think that we're going to see, especially the Harrenhal stuff is going to continue on because it's such a massive plot of land, essentially, and they want to protect that going into when this eventual, I mean, the war's already happening now, but like when we start getting these bombastic episodes every single week, and they're setting the groundwork with that by other people on Team Black and Team Green going all across the Westeros, and we have Jace meet with the Freys, which I think is a really good scene too, in which they talk about, they're like, well, we need the dragons for protection. And like, so what do we have to do? And he's like, bend the knee. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really great scene. Was that one of those standout scenes for you as well?
Oh yeah. 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 I feel like they're using his character in a really smart way where they're making him, just kind of like the most loyal to his mother. Like, honestly, I feel like he's the only one that's actually truly on his mom's side and not in a way of like, well, I get to be then king if she is like not in a selfish way. It's fully just like, no, I'm supporting my mom. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that scene. And I think it's also shows that Team Black is looking forward to the future after the war, because he's talking about like, okay, who gets this land after the war is done? Well, I feel like Team Green is just like out there just like, who got the bigger dragon?
Yeah.
You or me?
Yeah, exactly.
And let's burn this place down to the ground.
I think the scene's actually really representative too of, and this episode in particular is really reflective of like Rhaenyra and Jace with the, like kind of mirroring the relationship that Rhaenyra had with her father, Viserys. Like, I think you're starting to see that even like in terms of the way that they're having conversations at the end of this episode, like you touched on a little bit, Vinny, where they're talking about bringing in the other members of the lineage and like talking about the history of their bloodline and the importance of that. And it's interesting because I think we discussed that last week too, right? On how Alicent was trying to do that with the history of the land because she's so unaware. Mm. And so is everybody on Team Green. Like, yeah. They're just like throwing shit at the wall.
No, I know.
And seeing what sticks and seeing how it's going to go from there. So I really think it is interesting to see the different dynamics of how they're going to war. I'm just hoping for a little bit more action.
I know. I do kind of have a theory. I want to hear your thoughts. So we have not seen Otto Hightower like at all since he's left. Mm-hmm. Do we think Aemon brings him back now that he's in power? Because he didn't have any beef with him.
No, well, there is the scene, though, when Otto is meeting, or I'm sorry, Aemon is meeting with Kristen in episode one, and they're plotting, and then Otto comes in, and they're, like, very secretive about it.
I guess.
So I don't think there's as much of a
chance that he...
Yeah, like a bad feeling towards Otto, but I don't see him bringing him back. Mm. But I am interested to see what's going to happen in terms of like who's going to be the new hand, because I don't think Kristen's going to hold on to that.
He's got to go. He sucks.
Well, the other thing is that Aemon, he's loyal to Aegon.
Yeah.
But I don't know if like the other counterpoint, Vinny, I don't know if you feel similar to this too. It's like with Kristen, when the scene when Alicent comes in and addresses Kristen and she said, what did Aemon do? He's like, I cannot say. So he's still pleading his allegiance to who he eventually picks as the next king. So do you think that Kristen's going to hold his allegiance to Aemon? Do you think maybe he goes in the direction of maybe like a Larys? Or do you think like Liz's theory, do you think that maybe...
He needs somebody to have politics in the game, not just like brutality.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Otto's coming back.
At all? You think he's done?
I think he'll be back either at the end of the season or the beginning of next season. They're going to give some time for his character to like have us forget about him and then come back into the fold. I can't see Aemon picking him though to join the table.
So who do you think, Vinny? What do you think happens with the hand?
I think Kristen is going to stay as hand.
Until he dies.
Yeah. Okay. That's my thoughts. Aemon would definitely not bring Otto back. I think it's just too much. Like, Aemon wants his way, and Otto would not allow that. So... I don't know how we'd see Otto, or what role he's going to play in the future if he does come back. And same with Kristen, unclear of his role.
Mm.
I guess now that we're kind of speculating, theorizing, I have some theories.
Talk to us.
Next episode, I think there's going to be a city riot. I think that's going to be like the action of next episode or the episode after.
They kind of hinted at it in the the trailer for the next season.
Yeah.
Like a quick shot of them like getting pushed against a wall. Mm. Alicent and her daughter.
Hmm. I didn't see the trailer for the next episode. So that is interesting. And now that my brain is kind of, I don't want to pivot in the other direction too much, but you know, we're getting focus on the people, the townsfolk. Mm-hmm. We see the blacksmith once again.
Mm.
We saw in the episodes prior that one guy who claimed to be the bastard brother.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't gotten back to him yet.
Yeah. We also seen that in the first season that Aegon was fooling around and had a bunch of bastard kids kind of around King's Landing. So I have a theory that blacksmith, he has white hair. I think he's a Targaryen too.
Oh.
I think we're getting attention to him. And now Rhaenyra is going to be looking at the records and being like, look at him.
Interesting.
And then, I don't know, I just feel like him specifically and the white hair, and then we see the other dude with the white hair, and that other dude is specifically claiming to be a bastard, and we're getting just too much attention is being put to that.
There's a lot of bastard talk in this season.
A lot of it.
Like, there is. Like, they're trying to set the stage for this being a bigger war and having these other implications, and it is kind of interesting to see the Thrones world getting... quote, like, gritty in a sense, like trying to find these people that are not, they don't walk the same royal beaten path that all these other people were brought up in, and this is how they're gonna try to take advantage of certain situations and benefits and pros and cons. Larys is still like the big one for me because I feel like he's going to say something to Aemon about how his mother was having sex with Kristen. And I think that might put him in a position to be hand in terms of that part of it. But I do think, in like what you were saying, Vinny, I think that's a cool theory. If the blacksmith is a Targaryen, do you feel like,
yes? Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but it would be cool. And it does make sense because of the way that this episode ended with Rhaenyra and Jace talking about like looking into their lineage. And honestly, it's a way to build numbers too. If you're like, oh, you're part of our family, even though you've been like banished for a while. So like, we want you on our team now. That's totally going to make these people that are like starving and living in poverty be like, yeah, take care of me. Like, I'll be on your team. Let's go. So I could see it.
Yeah, I could see it.
I don't know. I guess the last thing I want to talk to you guys about was basically like that last thing that we get where we see Helaena and Aemon in front of the throne. What were your thoughts on that, Liz? Because obviously, she still has a role to play, even though she's kind of showing up sparingly.
Yeah,
she's always seeing things happen. I don't know if she's gonna maybe. Like, do you think maybe she takes Alicent with her and they escape because they have an understanding of one another? I mean, that's the only person in which I feel like even she has a moment, what was it, two episodes ago where she goes, I forgive you to Alicent. Yeah. Like, there's at least some sort of respect there because that is her mother. So,
I don't know. I want to see more from her, but I don't think we're going to get a ton more this season. I think that they're going to keep her kind of in their back pocket of giving her a big season of when she's really starting to come into her own like magical powers. And I don't know if it's her brothers that realize her powers and use them. I think it may be somebody else. But I want to see more of her, but I don't think we're going to get more this season. Okay. I think they were just kind of like sprinkling it in to keep her in our minds. But I think she's smarter than all of them on Team Green.
I agree. Vinny?
Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's another one of those things where I feel like a lot of this episode, it was predictable in a sense that it brought all our theories to fruition and all our leading kind of plot threads. But then now moving forward, I kind of don't know where it's going to take this. You know, like, if there is a coup d'etat with the townsfolk, is it going to succeed? Is it going to fail with Helaena? Like, I don't know. I really cannot predict what's going to come next, which I think is a good one. I think that this was almost a necessary, predictable episode so that we can almost start with a new foundation and then, like, throw the story in a new trajectory.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, we got 3 weeks left. 3 weeks left of season two. A lot of things that we theorized here. A lot of things we covered. Is there anything else that we missed, maybe? I feel like we kind of covered it all.
No, I think we covered the whole episode.
Yeah, we basically did. So we'll be back next week to discuss episode 6 of season 2 of House of the Dragon. Let us know in the comments what you guys thought of this episode. Was it satisfying enough coming off of the unbelievably high-rated episode, The Red Dragon and the Gold? Let us know in the comments if it was disappointing for you, if you guys really liked it. Some of your theories going forward. We love talking theories in the comments. And if you guys can give this video a like, you could also subscribe to us. We have the Culture Wave Media Network. You could also follow us on social media. We are at Cinema Wave Media and at _CultureWaveMedia on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and just Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Darian Scalamoni.
I am Liz Seiko.
And I am Vinny Albano.
And we'll see you guys next time.
This is The Culture.